Howdy, y'all, and welcome to the Ears podcast produced by Terrier TV. I am Frank Rob. I say something different every single time, I'm noticing. I either say Alligator Rob, Frank Rob, mix of Frank Alligator Rob. I can never stick to the same thing twice. Is that wrong?
No, variety.
Is I got to come up with a nickname.
You don't have a nickname?
Not that we can share on air.
Well, I mean, don't some people like call you Red?
This is true. I've heard that.
I've heard that. See, that you just don't want to be called that.
That's fair. Okay, if you don't want to be called that, we'll never say that.
No, yeah. Okay. Some people call
some
me
people
that.
Call you.
She's not intrigued by this idea at all.
That's okay. Yeah. I got things that students call me that I don't want to be called either. So
we all have those inappropriate superlatives.
Yes, we do.
Yes, bad superlatives. All right, so you guys ready to jump into this?
Yeah, let's do it.
We are joined today on the phone by a lady who is really family to me and my family. Been a good friend for a long time, and part of the reason I'm still here, which is pretty epic. So we're joined by Miss Dina Bear. Howdy, Miss Dina. How are you doing?
Hello, Frank. Nice to talk to you. I miss you.
Yeah, miss seeing you too, without a doubt. So for people who don't know, I'm trying to think of the way to describe how we first met. You have any ideas?
Oh, boy. Well, we met at the Emmys, which is a good story to tell because it's like, ooh, you were at the Emmys.
Indeed. Yeah, you're right. That is where we first met. Okay.
Yes. Yep. How did I not know you went to the Emmys?
I was a co-host of the Midwest Emmys. Yeah.
See, Frank, I told you it was a good story.
Yeah, you're right. It is a good story. Yeah, it is a good story. So, yeah, we were sitting there at
a
table.
After we saved our city, we were at a table together at the Emmys, and the question came up, so what's your day job? Because he had just come and found Chance the Snapper. Oh my
Indeed.
Goodness, I can't believe that I forgot his name. You had just gotten Chance the Snapper out of the lagoon in Chicago, saved us all. And it was like, okay, so what's your day job? And then you started telling this interesting story about all of the fascinating things that you do as it relates to alligators and research and medicine. And as medical reporter, we decided that that was going to be an excellent story. And we conned our bosses into paying for us to come spend a week with you in Florida.
Which was a blast.
It was too fun.
Yeah, it was an absolute blast. Yeah, so for those who don't know, I guess a little bit over a year ago, whenever I found out I needed heart surgery, and I'd been looking around trying to find a doctor to help me do this surgery, Dina was one of the calls I made to try to, like, Dina, hey, listen, this is what I'm dealing with. I know you talk to a lot of doctors all the time. Like, there's nobody that's really knowing what's going on here or what to do. Do you have any ideas who I can chat with? And you gave me a couple of names, which I did have. I talked to both of the people you gave me names for. And it was a roundabout way. Those doctors actually helped me find the doctor that ended up doing my surgery. I don't know if you know that or not.
I did know that, yes.
Yeah. And
know what the possibilities were. And so I think that's amazing.
Yeah. You're part of my story. Someone I think the world of, and if I didn't tell you thank you for all that, it surely means a lot to me, and it's part of the reason I'm still here. So really, it means a lot.
I would help you out any way I can.
So tell
you
us
and all your people.
That's right. Yeah, you met the whole Rob clan. That's true. You met the whole Rob family.
Yes. What a pleasure.
Tell us about your news anchor journey. You've been doing this for a long time, and in my opinion, the best in Chicago at it. No offense to anybody else, but yeah, I said it, and they can do what they want to with it.
Oh, you're super sweet. I knew I wanted to do this from the time I was a kid. My poor mother, I'd be in the grocery store and, sort of reporting from the aisles. And then I was from the East Coast and moved out to Chicago to go to Northwestern and got an internship in college that ended up landing me my first job because she was a respected anchor and medical reporter here in Chicago. I worked for her and she basically had me written into her contract and said, hey, I need this person to produce for me. And so I started out producing. And then once I turned in a bunch of scripts, and this is how old I am, it was not on computer. They were on a typewriter and there were red marks all over them. And I would go home and I would kind of cry. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not good at this. And then pretty soon the scripts started coming back without red marks all over them. I'm like, okay, now I'm ready. And then I went down and I spent a year in Peoria, which I called Purgatoria at the time, just because I had never lived in a really small town without any good Italian restaurants. And I was freaking out a little bit. But it was the time when Bill Clinton was running for office. So I got to be on that Midwest bus tour with him and all of these network reporters and did political stories and could compare myself each night to sort of the best of the best from the networks and realize where I was falling short and what I needed to do to improve myself. And then I got a job right back here in Chicago, and the rest is history. I have been here for 30 years.
And you really are the top of the food chain up there. What's like, is it 9 Emmy Awards now at this point, or is it more than that?
It's actually 15.
15? Holy moly.
I feel like such a
No, I was way short. I was way short.
Quite yes, all right.
We were just making fun of a student a minute ago that was holding his arms apart and saying 12 feet. Yeah, I just did the same thing, basically. that's amazing. And 800 other awards on top of that. And not to mention all this different stuff you've got to report in the medical world.
It's been fascinating. I mean, I've been in on brain surgeries. I've been in on heart surgeries where the chest is completely open like yours was during your surgery. And just to see a live heart beating is so fascinating. The human body is such an amazing instrument. And so to be able to cover these stories and to know what is possible when you are sick. I mean, our entertainment reporter can get you tickets to a show, but when you're sick, when you really need something, I could get you a doctor. So I got a guy.
No doubt. You do have the
to
connections.
Me, that's the most valuable thing. I'm so fortunate.
What story that you've covered in your career sticks with you the most?
Boy, I spent a month in the neonatal intensive care unit at Lurie Children's Hospital and watching these life and death scenarios. And there was a family who one child was there with a brain tumor and the mom had a little baby at the same time and her 1.5-year-old had this brain tumor. And they were trying to figure out desperately how to save this little girl. And at the time, the doctor looked over at the other baby and could see something in her eyes and realized that she had the exact same tumor. And so this mother was essentially going to lose both of her children. And sadly, in the time that we were there, it was discovered that the pain medication that was supposed to be going to the little girls, the mother was taking. And there is no judgment because you can't put yourself in a situation like that. But it was so tragic because the girls got taken away from her before they got taken away to go to heaven. And it was just, it was so tragic. But that was one side of it, where the other stories from there were so amazing, and it was life, and it was the life-giving from these doctors. There was a little girl who refused to take her medication. So the doctor, in his infinite wisdom, wrote a prescription for blue M&Ms because they were her favorite. And so the nurse would go down to the pharmacy and they would put a cup like they put the pills in, and instead of pills, it would have blue M&Ms. And this little girl was so thrilled and started taking her medicine. And then pretty soon she wasn't refusing to take her medicine. So I think it's just thinking outside the box and realizing that it's the little things, it's the big things, it's the amazing technology, it's the amazing minds, and it's the families I get to meet, where many times I go home and, you know, especially when my kids were growing up, would sit at the end of the bed and think, there, but for the grace of God, go I. I mean, I'm so lucky to have these healthy kids, but you just meet such incredible people. And Frank, of course, you were one of them along the way that I got to meet. and I'm so fortunate for that.
Yeah, you're right there with those people, and you're literally making a difference in saving people's lives. It's that's gotta be very inspirational to you, I would imagine.
Well, so my history is I was sick at a young age. I had cancer when I was in college, and all I wanted to know was, could I have kids? Because I had ovarian cancer, which many people call the silent killer. And it whispers, right? And I kept saying, I have pain. And the doctors were like, no, it's nothing. It's nothing. And I went to 4 doctors until I found out that I had a massive tumor on my ovary. And that whole process, one, made me fascinated with medicine. But I realized that you needed to be empowered. You needed to be your own voice. And I'm so fortunate now to get to tell these stories about medicine and what is possible and say, don't give up. You tell someone else's story where they said, this person said, I would never see. I was losing my sight. And then we connected them with a doctor who said, no, all I have to do is this great surgery and you will be able to see for the rest of your life, you know? And so I think it's that don't take no for an answer is the ultimate message that I'm able to give people. But it's also, we are so fortunate here in Chicago to have all of these medical institutions and these teaching hospitals where we're pretty much on the cutting edge of medicine. So if I do a story and someone doesn't live in an area where they've got all of these great institutions, they know you can come here. And that's what I said to you, Frank, you can come here and, you know, stay with us, have your surgery and we'll take care of you, you know, whatever. And then you were able to find someone else who did it, who happened to study with someone who was at a different place. I mean, it just, if you can empower people like that, that feels good.
No doubt about it. It's got to. And the teaching hospitals you speak of, I think the difference they make in our country is very understated. When you can go there, not only get repaired, whatever you have going on, and then the doctors and the future doctors can learn from what's happening, that is unbelievable.
Right. Well, and that's what was so fascinating about what you were doing when you were taking the blood samples on NASA property from the alligators. Why? Because alligators don't get sick. They're in that water that is filled with toxins, cancer-causing elements, and they're not getting cancer. So what are we going to find out in that blood that might help us one day beat cancer? I think, oh my goodness, that is just amazing.
It really is. And the funny thing about all that is nobody else had ever asked me any of that. The stuff that you guys asked me at that table, everybody else is just amazed by the whole chance story. And nobody ever said, so wait a second, you know, you have you obviously can hold a conversation. We didn't ever expect you had a medical degree and you had a background doing research like this. I'm like, well, you guys never asked. You know, I didn't volunteer it because you guys never asked. I'm not here to talk about myself. I was here to do a job. It wasn't what I was here for. So yeah, you guys asked all the right questions, obviously. But in your career, which you've had a long career, like you're saying, who are some inspirational people in your life leading up to that, and then you know, in your career itself?
Oh, that's a great question.
You've had to have some people that made a big difference in kind of helping guide you to where you were going.
I did. Well, the woman I first worked for, her name was Joan Esposito. She was amazing to me because at a time when women might think of someone else who is younger and up and coming as being threatening or competition, she embraced me and said, no, we have to lift each other up and we have to help each other. And she gave me my first start and she helped me find my first on-air job. And we are the best of friends today. And that made a huge difference in my life. So it's not someone that maybe people would know. And then beyond that, I honestly think it's the inspiration of the parents who have sick kids, of the wife who would never take no for an answer when her husband was sick and found the place to be and an interesting story to tell. You know, right now we're working on a series on medicine and the fact that medicine is sick. We are post-pandemic. there is a huge flight because doctors are burned out and nurses are burned out and staff in the hospitals are really just at their wit's end. We're going tonight to interview a woman who left a really successful nursing career to do wine tasting. Because
wow.
She said, I just can't do this anymore. But the story is not about how it's all bad. It's, you know, think about if it's shattered and all of those pieces come down and sort of cut the people that need care the most. There is also light. Caregivers still care and they're trying to fix it and trying to make it better as they did in pandemic. And so there is so much hope. And all of those people, I think, continue to be my inspiration. You know, I always say, this is not brain surgery, this is television. But we cover brain surgeons and we're pretty amazed by what they do.
The things the human body can put up with and recover from, even in my own stuff, I'm amazed. I'm amazed by what they can do to you and what you can recover from. It's pretty amazing.
Right.
So you were talking about your kids. You have a beautiful family. Are they all in college right now? Are they are they following your footsteps?
Frank, time gets away from you. Now three of them have graduated from
what?
College. Yes, in the past 2 years.
Right? Holy moly.
And no, they are not at all. One of them is into audio engineering. He likes music, though, and he produces music. And the other is in sales. He works for a logistics company and trying to get, you know, all of the delays fixed that we've had with supply chain issues. And the other is graduating from graduate school on May 6th, and he is biomedical engineering, technology, informatics, and then he got a master's in finance. So what he will do with that?
Wow. Yeah, my brain hurts just thinking about all that.
Crow Consulting. So we'll see. Yeah. And then I have my junior in high school, and we are on all of our college trips right now trying to figure out where she's going to go and what she wants to do.
Does she have it narrowed down?
She wants to get into forensic science.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Does she have her colleges narrowed down? Or is it still wide open?
No, it's not wide open. We looked at Kentucky. We looked at Miami of Ohio. She looked at Boulder, Villanova. Yeah, yeah, we are sort of all over the place.
I was say, wow. Yeah, she's all over the place. Holy moly. That's crazy.
I think she just likes the trips, frankly.
There's
and
nothing wrong with that.
She probably knows exactly where she wants to go, but she's enjoying going on these trips.
Well, you have to let me know when you said it was your son that's doing the music stuff?
Yes.
When he wants some cool audio samples, you know what I'm talking about. You let me know.
Oh, yes.
That could be very, very interesting.
Oh, wouldn't that be great? The alligator sounds, right?
There you go.
Everyone knows you talk to the alligators, right?
That'd be some pretty cool audio. Who knows what you could make out of that?
You could sample that. I bet it would be super cool in a song.
Yeah, it'd be pretty amazing, I would think.
They're working on a cool project, he and my husband right now. They're doing 50 songs for 50 states. So
there you go.
They wrote the lyrics for all 50 songs, and then they're giving them to people all over the country to write the music and to record. So it's kind of bringing people together, America in tune.
Very neat.
I love that so much.
That's pretty epic. Did I see a story that you went and jumped in the lake for a medical story? Did I see the frozen lake? Did I understand
Catherine
that correctly?
Catherine and I did.
Catherine did too?
I wish I could remember. I think it was 7 degrees. It might have been 4 degrees outside. And this person, this doctor, was talking about all of the medical benefits. So for the month of January, he was going to jump in the lake, and we were going to cover the story.
Wait, for the month? Like every day of the month?
Every day. I only did it one day. So Catherine's like, you know what, we should really do this. And we thought, okay, yes, we will. And it was about, I think, 40 degrees.
I can see you
said,
and Catherine
sure,
doing this.
Sure, we'll do that. And then it was like 4, 5, 6 degrees the day we did it. It was awful.
Was it brutal?
Oh. It was really brutal. Your skin isn't cold. It burns. It just was so cold. It is rather invigorating. But it really does take your breath away.
The skin on fire is invigorating.
And then when you get out, you itch.
Do you really?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yes.
Because your skin is kind of coming back, right?
Yes. Oh, it's terrible.
Wow. I kind of want to do it now.
I don't know.
You know what he told us, which would have been better? You can do it in the shower and get the same benefits.
Oh, well, that would have been nice, yeah.
Just turn the cold water on in the shower. And then when you're freezing, you can slowly warm it back up. You don't have to walk back from the beach.
So is he basically saying these people that go and do the polar plunge, that there's actually health benefits behind doing that?
Yes, yes.
No joke. Oh, yeah.
No, there is a school of thought that says hot showers are one of the worst things you can do.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe I should go polar plunge it.
And it's supposed to boost your immunity, which, of course, coming out of pandemic again, we're all thinking, oh, what are the best ways we can boost our immunity?
You're right. Yeah, I was standing in the office with you at your studio, you and Catherine, whenever the first COVID case showed up in Chicago, and the first case in the country. Remember that? I was standing there with you guys, and we were talking about it. Like, is this going to be something? We kind of all went, Yeah, who knows? Maybe not. I don't know.
I know. How amazing is that? And then it was just...
Yeah, that was my last trip up there for quite a while after that one. Yeah. Yeah, then things went crazy.
But Dr. Fauci says today we're out of it.
Hey, that'd be nice.
Yep.
That'd be nice. What are your hobbies outside of work? Because you are always at it. I know I went curling with you one time, so I know that's got to be one of them.
Yes. That was a first for me, though, the curling. I just thought that would be fun.
That was fun.
Well, I love ballroom dancing, and so I do competitive ballroom dancing.
Wow.
And it started out as a way to raise money for charity. It initially, back in 2008, when Dancing with the Stars was super popular, we thought, a friend of mine is a franchise owner of an Arthur Murray dance studio, and she said, we could do a dancing with the local celebrities, and it would all be one night. So we would learn over 3 months how to dance, and then we would all perform that night, and people would buy tickets, and then the professional dancers would put on a show as well, kind of the way they do on that program. And we started raising money, and I just so got the bug. And so I started traveling with my partner and competing in other cities just to keep it up. It's great exercise. It's great fun. It is just, I think the benefits are tremendous. In fact, I ended up doing a story on a woman who had diabetes and started dancing, and she no longer had diabetes. She was able to get off of all of her medications.
How incredible is that?
Yeah, and I think you know I'm a triathlete.
That's what I was fixing to say. You've been a long-term triathlete too, right?
Yes. I love that. My knees started saying you can't run long distances, so the swim, bike, run seemed the better way to go. Except, here's the funny thing. I think this is a good story. I didn't know how to swim. My mother was afraid of water. I could not swim. And when my kids were little, I took swimming lessons. And it took a half hour on the first lesson just to get my face in the water because I was so afraid. And my teacher was so patient. He was my son's swim teacher.
Wow.
And swim coach, because my son was a great swimmer. And so after my first lesson, after I finally put my face in the water, I went home and I signed up for a triathlon because I thought, if there's nothing hanging over my head, I will never practice. I will not keep this up. So I kept taking lessons with him, and God bless him. My first triathlon in Chicago, they do it at the harbor. So there's a wall right there. So, you know, you're in Lake Michigan, but the break wall, you know, is there. So they can walk along. My coach walked along with me. He's like, you can do it. You can do it. And I finished it. And after that, totally got the bug and started doing triathlons. And so eventually you're swimming a mile, you're biking 26, and you're running 6 miles. And the first one of the year, inevitably, I would have a panic attack when I got in the water because I'm still inherently afraid of it. But you got to face your fears, right?
Yeah, my panic attack comes just thinking about all that. Yeah, it's just I think it's so far above my pay grade at that point. Yeah.
You just wrestle alligators. So.
But not over great distances.
Yeah, it's true.
You know? It's kind of a sprint sport.
Yeah, you've seen it, Dina. It's in a small area for the most part. You might get in the truck and drive somewhere, but you ain't running 26 miles there, or swimming a handful of miles there either, or biking even. Good grief, there's AC to recover to.
I'd run faster if I were running from alligators, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, Lord. We have some trivia. You want to do some trivia lists?
Oh, gosh, I'm so bad at trivia because I have a horrible memory, but I will try.
I think this is right up your alley, Dina. I tried to give you a little bit of a hint where I was going with it. I think I got it.
So you wanted me to study?
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. I think your knowledge base is already a lot more of us than this on this subject than ours. So I think you got this.
Okay.
The topic is medical advances during COVID.
Ooh.
Because a lot of the medical advances during COVID, nobody heard about because everybody was worried about COVID. So,
right.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Number one, this machine/tool was created with input from Yale Medicine and received FDA approval in August of 2020 and is already at work in several U.S. hospitals. The new portable machine offers many advantages over its massive cousin, and its weaker magnet is very effective.
Weaker magnet. That's where you threw me off because I thought you were going with the iron lung that ultimately became the respirator.
No, I did not know about the iron lung respirator. So I think Cindy had it. Did you have it, Cindy?
Probably not.
Well, what were you thinking?
Magnet. So is it some kind of portable MRI?
It is a portable MRI.
Okay.
Yeah, portable MRI. Good job.
Yay, one. I think one this year I've gotten. All right.
No, that's not true. You got a couple other ones. Give yourself credit, Cindy. Number two, in research conducted at Boston's Children's Hospital, scientists used a virus to switch off this gene that triggers cells doing what? The patients all produced healthy red blood cells and all were able to stop having transfusions. It's a type of sickness. Type of
sickle cell anemia.
Yeah. Sickle cell anemia.
Indeed. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're doing that with a lot of viruses now. Remember when I was in, when we were in, getting my medical degree, they were using viruses at that point. They were trying to target some types of cancer with them.
Yes.
And I don't.
They use it as a vector to get the cancer treatments in.
Okay.
The problem is the viruses were causing an even greater issue for some of the immune compromised cancer patients. So. They've sort of stopped that idea and have gone more toward immunotherapy.
Okay. Yes, I know for a while they were using the HIV virus, right? They were taking something chronic to treat something terminal, basically.
Right.
Yeah, some crazy stuff. Number three, in December 2020, the FDA approved Bayer. They basically stimulate what to heal itself by placing a protein-based sponge prepared with some of the patient's own blood. That way, no grafts are needed. It's referred to as Bayer. It's a BEAR.
It's a type of artificial skin.
That's a good guess. It's actually bridge enhanced ACL restoration. So it's Bayer, BEAR.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, they put a sponge in place of where your ACL was at. So when you tear your ACL, it actually grows itself back. That whole idea melts my mind. I can't quite wrap my head around that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little crazy. Anyhow, that one was way above.
You're not as old as me. I love the idea.
My
and
knees.
We can regrow.
Yeah.
My knees and my joints have been hurting a lot here recently. So I'm feeling old. My beard's gray now, Dina. It's the whole thing. I'm falling apart, Dina.
He's falling apart before our very eyes.
Yeah. I'm
amazing.
Having to hold the paper further away from my face to see it, even though I'm still hiding it from Mr. Curtis, so he can't see it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yep.
You have to get the lenses. Viewity.
It's
I just
happening.
Did a story on these eye drops that work for 8 hours that help
what?
You with
yes.
close up vision.
I saw a commercial for them. Yeah, I saw a commercial for it.
No way.
I tried them in the story, and I don't need readers yet. But, you know, when you look at a medical bottle and that, you know, you're going to take an Advil or whatever it might be and sort of the print is so, so tiny on those.
Yeah.
I could read that like it was a giant menu. It was fascinating.
Wait, so question, taking those drops, does that not more quickly deteriorate your already deteriorating vision? Or is there no side effects to it?
What it does is, think about when you squint. When you squint, you sort of narrow your focus area.
Yeah.
And so these drops close your pupil down. So it's really small. And because of that, it's much more focused.
What?
And they actually discovered it because these drops were treating other eye disorders and helping the eye get better. So wow. No, they have are not seeing any negative side effects.
And that's amazing.
Yeah, my mind is blown. Worked.
It's amazing.
If you could have seen me squeal, I was giggling that I could read this model. I'm like, look, I can read this.
Yeah, because I just saw like a commercial Superman. For it.
Was there are there's commercials for it?
Yeah,
too?
I saw a commercial for it. Forget what show it was on, but yeah.
And how crazy is that?
Wow.
Dina saying she doesn't know things. She is, Dina, you are trivia.
Cutting edge.
All right. Try them. Then you won't need to hold the you won't need to extend your arm.
What are they so what is it called again?
Vuity. It's Vuity. V-U-I-T-Y.
Okay.
I'll try them and then I'll be able to read the answer.
All right, last
no
one.
Fair. You guys have the answers in there.
That's funny.
Oh, Frank hides them from us. We can't see him. He won't let us.
I write so small anyhow that I can't even read it, so it doesn't make a difference. Number four, Randall Bateman, a Washington University School of Medicine neurologist, is thrilled to have contributed to the first blood test for what disease that affects as many as 6 million Americans. This is something new over the past few weeks, I believe.
The blood test, or
the blood test he derived. Yes, ooh, fancy
blood
word of the day.
For cancer,
multiple sclerosis.
It's Alzheimer's. There's a blood test for Alzheimer's now. Apparently,
really.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh.
I don't know how early on it can tell, but this guy claims this neurologist from Washington University says he has it. That's pretty nuts.
Wow.
I wonder how early on it can tell.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
And I wonder what the signals are
that's
in your blood.
A curse or a blessing, because yeah. there's
right.
no treatment.
Yeah.
So if it can tell super early, I don't know if I want to know.
Yeah, yeah, that, and it makes you wonder if they've narrowed down something in the blood that tells you that you're going to have it. Does that mean we're closer to figure out what's causing it? That
or
raises
how to
a lot
treat
of questions.
It.
Yeah, right. Both. Yeah. That raises a lot of questions, in my opinion, but who knows? Elephant rhino, as the kids say.
Yeah, the kids
the
are
kids
all saying
that. The kids say that, yeah.
<I'll> say that.
That's right.
Dina, super appreciate you being on here. I hope you know what you and Steve and everybody mean to me. You know, please go give them all a hug. Tell them I love them. And you guys are really family, and I'll never be able to thank you enough for what you all have done for me and my life. And yeah, so... Anyhow, before I get all mushy,
well,
thank you a bunch.
You have enhanced ours in amazing ways, and I hope you're coming back to Chicago soon.
Yes, ma'am.
If not, we'll be down there in Florida to see you.
I'll be up there. I think if it works out right, I'm going to try to do a fundraiser for my nonprofit on the anniversary of Catching Chance.
Oh.
Somewhere around Humboldt Park there, and then I'm going to be up there for the Murray's tournament in the middle of August, so... Yeah, we'll get together and grab some lunch or something. We'll go harass the city somehow.
Sounds perfect.
I appreciate you a bunch. Thank you so much for being here.
All right, thank you. See
all right,
you guys.
Have a good evening, Dina. Well, that was epic.
Yes, that was
She's
great.
A sweetheart of a lady.
How inspirational is one person allowed to be? Because I am in awe.
She is all that. And extra.
Wanted to learn to swim, so she just decided to sign up for a triathlon, and now she's a triathlete.
That's epic on a whole different level. I overuse the word epic, because that's just, it's so far beyond that, I don't even know where to go with it. Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say anything like that. Yeah, I want to learn how to swim, so I signed up for a triathlon.
Yeah. Yeah, to motivate myself so that either I drown or...
Talking about a positive lady, that's her, that's her right
oh
there.
Goodness,
yeah, that's an inspirational person without a doubt. All right, I guess that's us for the afternoon, huh?
Yep,
that's us.
I'm gonna go home and go into a coma. I'm gonna see how long I can sleep. I'm gonna fuzz all the dogs up on top of me. That's usually when I'm really tired. They all sleep on top of me, and then I wake up with more of their fuzz than my own fuzz. So then I have to brush all their fuzz out of my face before I get a shower. That way it doesn't all go down the drain.
There you go.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. I don't know why I told you all that. So anyhow, thank you guys for being here. We will catch you next week at the same time and the same ears channel. Buh-bye.